a sex and love addict.
Right.
First off, I hope everyone had a painless holiday at the very least. It's a really hard time. It's funny, the past like 2 weeks, I was feeling a lot of things and having a lot of things coming up. Fellows were calling me, having a lot of things coming up. And I was like, is Mercury in retrograde or something? I don't know what that means, but I know it means something. and then I was like, oh, right, fucking the holidays are here. And people have dysfunctional families they have to go engage with, including myself. So this is a good meeting to come to on the heels of that. And I'm grateful for this opportunity. Anything I share that you don't love, don't worry about it. It's just my opinion and my belief on this stuff. And I'll just kind of start from with the artist in mind. As a child, I was told, my mother, the only thing I heard out of my mom's mouth was, do you have a girlfriend? Do you have a girlfriend? Do you have a girlfriend? Who's that girlfriend? Who's that little girl you're with? I have photos of me kissing girls when I was like in preschool, like 3, 4, 5. I mean, I could name every single girlfriend I had since kindergarten, which is kind of crazy, but I could do it. And I was always in pursuit of them. It was cute and coy and harmless when I was a kid, but it persists, and it's what I knew. And I did a play when I was in first grade because my parents wanted me to try something, and I hated it. I hated every second. I hated the director. I was like, I don't ever want to. It was like Tom Sawyer. It was like an abbreviated Tom Sawyer. And I was like, I never want to do this ever again. I hate every second of this. My mom was like, cool, we just wanted you to try something new. All good. And that happened. A couple years later, or several years later, I was heading into sixth grade, and a very famous movie came out. And all of a sudden, I was like, hey, Mom, I want to do our neighbor's musical theater camp this summer. She's like, really? I thought you hated this thing. I was like, no, I really want to do it. She's like, okay, weirdo, like, sure. And that movie was High School Musical. And who did every little girl want to make out with? Zac Efron. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to do this musical. I'm going to be Zac Efron. And I was Zac. I played Troy Bolton, and I killed it, and I never stopped performing. And I continued on that path and made a career out of it, went to college for it. And I've had a lot of rock bottoms in my addiction, from abusive relationships on both ends, receiving and giving, to acting out excessively with pornography, massage parlors, you name it. I've done it all. And the one that struck me the hardest was an epiphany. I don't think this epiphany applies to everybody, but it applies to me. And that epiphany was that my addiction and my dream of a career in art were not symbiotic. They could not exist. They could not coexist, because as an actor, you know, do I love moving people and performing? Absolutely. What do I want by the title of being an actor or a filmmaker? I want people to think I'm sexy and pursue me, and I want a reason to leave my girlfriend who I love, which makes no sense. I'm in a 4-year relationship that was born out of sober dating. And I've relapsed within that relationship during the pandemic, and I had abandoned my program, and I returned a little less than a year ago to program. That was the rock bottom that really hit me. And I was really scared, because that meant every source of validation I had ever known was gone. I didn't have sex and love to pursue, and I didn't have being ogled at on a stage to pursue. And so it really threw me out of whack. I was really confused. Part of that was the relapse itself. And it took me to a place where I looked at the core of what I loved about my art, and it was always, this is fitting because I'm literally working on my college apps right now, but I looked at the core of what I loved about art and theater, and it was like, I love moving people. I love fostering empathy. I love contextualizing people for others, saying, if you don't understand a person's behavior, you're probably missing something fundamental about them. that you're not seeing and that they're not sharing with you openly. And that was what I loved about theater. It was a place to do that on stage and backstage. Thank you. And I looked at that and I said, okay, well, what are other ways to do that? And therapy was sort of the obvious one. And I'd always thought about being a therapist. I've been in therapy a long, long time. And I've shifted my trajectory towards a pursuit of service. I'm working in a rehab. I'm pursuing tract and therapy. And I will say, my artistic output has increased tenfold. I am no longer trying to sell the next script. I'm no longer plagued by this financial fear of the next one, more. I'm just doing it because I love it. I'm making a D&D campaign right now for 12 people, two separate groups that are gonna have crossover episodes because I'm such a maniac and I'm like writing this whole world thing and I just get to, and it's just fun and it's just for my friends. I get to enjoy that. And it's not, there's no pressure on it. So anyways, that was my artistic epiphany. And it hurts, it still hurts. It still feels like I'm abandoning something. But it also is in line with my recovery. And my recovery will kill me. So it's either die or change. So to reflect on some of the benefits of my recovery. Two nights ago, after Thanksgiving, my partner and I left my family's house. It's very uncomfortable, it always is. And we literally go there, we make food all day, we go there, we eat, and then we leave. There's like no games, there's no drinking, there's no fun. It's just kind of like, bye. And then we go. And we got home, and my sponsor had told me something might happen a long time ago. He said, when you get in recovery, you've kind of stagnated with your acting out. You're not growing spiritually or emotionally. And when you start recovery, if you take it seriously, you just like rock it up immediately. And if there are people that you're very close to, like a partner that you live with, you shoot past them very quickly. And it exposes them of the ways they numb themselves. Whether or not they're an addict, everyone numbs, everyone avoids, everyone does these things. It's human nature. But it exposes that in them. And my sponsor was like, you keep your mouth shut about this. This is not something you're gonna tell her, but eventually it might unfold that way. And the other night I might even tear up about it, but like, it was one of the most profound moments in my relationship, a very healthy relationship, a very supportive relationship, where she said, I've been phoning it in. And you wake up at 5 a.m. every day and I see your diligence and I see your work ethic and I see you trying so hard to bring intentionality into every aspect of your life. And I've seen it and it's so intimidating that I've withdrawn from it. And she's like, that's not what I want. That was my immediate reaction, but I want to join you there. And it was really one of those moments of the fruits of my labor of like, this relationship that I've worked so hard to maintain is starting to grow in a way that my sponsor taught. He said, two things will happen. You'll either not end up being together or something unimaginable can happen. And that thing is starting to fester in a really beautiful way. And so I'm really, really grateful for that. I think to leave with this, something I was thinking about in gratitude the other day was, I had 2 minutes, right?
Yeah.
The difference between wants and aspirations. I want a big fancy house in Malibu. I aspire to be comfortable. I can be comfortable in a lot of different places. I don't need that house in Malibu. I want 100 years in sobriety with no acting out whatsoever and no slips. But I aspire to be a man of integrity who is honest and, and forthcoming. And so for me, that divide is kind of part of my higher power. It's like, I want this thing. Wait, what's my aspiration behind it? I want to be an actor. What's the aspiration behind it? I want to be a filmmaker? What's my aspiration behind it? So I guess I'd just leave with that. I think it's a really fun meditation to work on. I literally write like want, then I write the want, then I write the aspiration under it. And I just like have a journal full of that. And it's really, really helped me sort out what the fuck I'm doing and why the fuck I'm doing it. But yeah, I'm really grateful to be here. I'm really excited to hear these shares. I've been to this meeting before the pandemic, or a version of it. I used to go to meetings out here a lot, and I haven't crossed town because I'm on the east side, and I'm really happy to be over here. Thanks, Bruce. Yeah.